The Savage Nation.
This is a really shocking thing that there's no federal intervention here.
Weeknights at 6 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Order!
Order!
Present?
The eyes to the right, 272. The nose to the left, 285. Yeah!
Thank you.
Go now!
Mr. McNeil. You're like an exploded volcano. Erupted. Calm yourself, man. The eyes to the right, 272. The nose to the left, 285. So the nose have it. The nose have it. Unlock. Point of order, Mr. Ed Miliband.
You're listening to the Savage Nation. It's not a fantasy.
On a point of order, there having been no motion passed by this House tonight, can the Prime Minister confirm to the House that he will not use the royal prerogative to order the UK to be part of military action, given the will of the House that has been expressed tonight, before there's been another vote in this House of Commons?
It is, of course, not a matter for the chair, but the Prime Minister has heard it and is welcome to respond.
Point of order, and I can give that assurance. Let me say the House has not voted for either motion tonight. I strongly believe in the need for a tough response to the use of chemical weapons, but I also believe in respecting the will of this House of Commons. It is very clear tonight that while the House has not passed a motion, it is clear to me that the British Parliament, reflecting the views of the British people, does not want to see British military action. I get that, and the government will act accordingly.
Yeah, order. Well, you just heard democracy in action, the way it's supposed to work in the British Parliament, which voted tonight, thumbs down to the rogue administration of Obama, launching a war on his own. My headline on MichaelSavage.com is the same as on this show. UK equals democracy, US equals dictatorship. Now, mind you, Cameron, the PM of England, wanted to go to war, but he conceded after the vote that, listen to what he said, it's very important you understand what this man said, as opposed to this gangbanger we have in the White House. I don't know what else to say anymore. It's like a gang running America. Like a gangbanger took over the country. Who the hell does he think he is? Prime Minister Cameron wanted to go to war, but he said this. He said, quote, the British Parliament, reflecting the views of the British people, does not want to see British military action. Period. But our gang, Obama, the Obama gang, the tyrant in the White House, could give our rats behind less about what Congress thinks and what the people think. You are not living in a democracy. Your democracy has been hijacked by a gang. That is why I said to you, listen carefully to what Cameron said. Cameron wanted to go to war, but he didn't. He listened to the will of the Parliament and the will of the British people. In America, 9% want to go to war. 9. The same thing would apply here if we had even a shred of democracy. We have no democracy. None whatsoever. And so I ask you tonight in the Savage Nation, will Obama the dictator go to war alone? Or do you think he has been chagrined by what he's seen going on? That his cohorts in France, the socialist Hollande, the most unpopular man in modern French political history, Mr. Hollande, the tax maniac, Hollande's blood brother over there, has also backed off with the war cry. Now England has backed off. Germany has backed off. So it's the gang alone. The gang alone. Will Obama go to war? Is the question alone. He has no mandate to do so.
Do you know that the British Parliament was called back from vacation, while our old drunks and drug addicts will not come back from vacation? The old stumble bums called Congress refused to come back from vacation and vote on going to war. Can you imagine that they have usurped, rather actually abrogated is the correct word, they've abrogated their responsibilities. They won't go back to work. It's too important, their vacation. So I ask you again, how do you feel? I ask you two questions. Will Obama go to war alone? If he does go to war alone, what will happen? Because you know it's not going to be good. Russia moved its fleet in. Take a look at the picture of their ships. If you think Russia is Potemkin's Navy, you're crazy. Take a look at the Russian Navy moving into the port there, the size of their missile cruisers. There are reports that there are 50,000 Russian troops in Syria right now to protect their sphere of influence, to protect their naval base at Aleppo. They're not just going to lay down for this gang that's going to come in and start lobbing bombs at them. And I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to give you a little history lesson on the start of World War One. It started in a very similar manner. There was a book called The Guns of August, written many years ago, about the start of World War One, and all of the big powers were dragged into it by accident. One after the other was dragged into it by accident. Syria today has the capacity to be the spark that starts World War III. China opposes any military action. Russia opposes any military action. England opposes it. France opposes it. Germany opposes it. But the man in the White House, the man who thinks he is above the law and God himself, can decide all on his own with the three women around him. Samantha Powers, that dangerous lunatic. That dangerous lunatic, Samantha Powers. Valerie Jarrett, the first lady, the mother-in-law. They're going to decide whether to go to war. My feeling on whether he will go to war? I'll tell you when I come back. I want to take your temperature on the Savage Nation. I want to point out another phrase. Notice that Cameron said he will not use the royal prerogative to go to war. The royal prerogative is the equivalent of the executive order in America. That is because he represents the people through the parliament, and he respected the will of the parliament and the will of the people. That is how it's supposed to work here in America. But this country has been hijacked by a criminal gang, according to tens of millions of people who know what the heck is going on. He does not have the power to do it, but he will do it anyway. He will claim he has the power. He will tell the people to go to hell. And if you think it's about the gas attack, you're crazy. If you think it's only about the gas attack, you're crazy. It's about cutting up Syria, cutting it up into pieces, and giving pieces of it away. You may not know this, but the modern Syrian state was only established after the First World War as a French mandate. And Syria, at that time that emerged, represented the largest Arab state, which emerged from the formerly Ottoman-ruled Arab Levant. It gained independence in April 1946 as a so-called parliamentary republic. Of course, there were many coups and coup attempts between 49 and 71. But the fact of the matter is, the borders that you are looking at in Syria today are rather recent. You have to look at the ancient geographical Syrian landmass to understand what is at stake here. Because Western powers carved up the Middle East over the last century, creating not only Syria, but Lebanon, Jordan, and Israel in the post-Ottoman era of the early 20th century. And I believe right now, very evil and demonic forces are going to cut up Syria the way they cut up Serbia and stole Kosovo from the Serbian people. Kosovo had been part of Serbia since the 1300s. Your wonderful hero of peace, Bill Clinton, that sterling example of humanity, launched our air force against the Serbs on false pretexts. They made up the concentration camp pictures the same way they may be making up the gas pictures today. Those were staged concentration camp pictures about the poor Albanians. My friends, you're only seeing the shadows on the wall of the cave. If you'd like to know who the actors are and what's really going on, You'll have to read some history. You'll have to study on your own. This is a radio program where I, Michael Savage, with a legitimate scholarly background, tries to bring you in short sound bites a pocket history of the world according to me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
To the use of chemical weapons, but I also believe in respecting the will of this House of Commons.
Yeah.
It is very clear tonight that while the House has not passed a motion, it is clear to me that the British Parliament, reflecting the views of the British people, does not want to see British military action. I get that, and the government will act accordingly.
Yeah. Can you believe how good that feels to hear that the Parliament has said we don't want war, they reflect the people. The people don't want war, and I get that. We will not go to war. Now compare that with the gang that runs America. Compare that with the arrogance and the tyranny of this administration. Do you realize what this means to us? Do you know what the White House said today after this vote in England? The White House, arrogant as usual, said that the master's decision on a possible military strike against Syria will be guided by America's best interests. Now, what the hell does that mean? You mean the people have no feeling on that? We're too stupid to know what our best interests are? They are suggesting that the anointed one may decide to act if Valerie Jarrett gets up on the wrong side of bed tomorrow morning. He will use what the British will not use, which is the royal prerogative. It's unbelievable to me what has happened here right in our lifetime. And there's not a peep coming from the other side. Oh, yes. Yes, yeah, the guy who runs the Republicans came out and muttered something. Where is he going? He should hold a press conference. Boehner's responsibility is to call for a national press conference tonight, right now, and go on the air and say that the president has no right to go against the will of Congress and the will of the people. And we will not stand by idly while he uses executive order to put American troops and American Air Force men in harm's way and upset the entire Middle East. As despicable as these pictures are and these acts are, the death of 355 people. We've all seen the images of sickened men, women, and children writhing on the floor. Let's assume that they're real. Maybe the suffering is real. I wouldn't put it past Assad nor his crazed brother. Assad's father gassed his own brethren when the father was in power. I remember that atrocity. This would be nothing new for them. However, and this is the big question, what is America's interest here? What is America's best interests here? And why is America suddenly so concerned with a humanitarian issue when there have been so many other atrocities on the planet that it looked away from? And these are the questions that are worth asking. And I don't know why we're not getting the answers that we deserve. The fact is that we have a dictator in the White House who has acted this way before. He gave amnesty to 4 million illegal aliens under the so-called Dream Act just before the election. That's what launched him over the top. That's how he stole the election. He knows he doesn't have the people's will to grant amnesty to the 50 million illegal aliens who are on our shore in our country today. He knows he doesn't have the votes for that. He may have the votes for it, but he may not have the people behind him. Every poll will tell you that, no matter what the brainwashing coming from the government media complex. And so the will of the people says, no, we don't want, we can't absorb, they don't belong here, we don't want 70 million illegal aliens. We're not giving away our birthright. But the dictator will do it anyway. Gay marriage, he did it anyway. Illegal aliens, he'll do it anyway. War, he'll do it anyway. And there are diehard liberals in your family that no matter what this man does, they will back him. They will say Obama, right or wrong. They will say Obama is America. No matter what Obama does, he's right. They don't care about right or wrong. They don't care what it is. They are in love with the man. It's Obama, right or wrong. And some of them are intelligent people, but they're weak. They're intelligent but weak. And they have a streak in them that I would say approaches insanity. That's why I wrote Liberalism is a Mental Disorder 7 years ago. So I'll ask the question again, will Obama go to war alone? Will he do it alone? My personal gut feeling is he will. He is an egomaniac, he's a narcissist, and he's backed himself into a corner. Meaning he can't not go to war now. He's basically said he's going to, right? So now if he doesn't, he looks weak. And if he does, and he does a limp-wristed firing of some missiles, Tomahawks or whatever, at which targets we don't know. There are rumors that Assad is out of the country with his family, hiding in Iran. I suspected yesterday that he would already have, since there's so much of an announcement, that he's moved his airplanes to harden shelters on the ground or flown them to Iran, for all we know. And I also told you yesterday, if you just tuned in to the Savage Nation, that I think Israel's pulling the strings on America right now. That's what I personally believe, and I told you why I believe that. And I want to be very clear. I am a supporter of the State of Israel. I believe they're the best country in the Middle East. I admire what the people have done with that land. And I have supported Israel from the day it was created. That doesn't mean I support the people who are running it in every administration or at all times. If they are, in fact, pulling the string or wagging the dog, well, shame on them. They should be called out. And the reason I've come to the conclusion it's Israel is because yesterday, well, we heard that it was Israeli intelligence that heard who lobbed the gas attacks. So if the U.S. is relying on Israel for that intelligence, so-called, you have to pretty much be sure that it was Israel wanting to push us into war to act as their Hessian air force. Now, why? I told you last night why. I am one man with one man's opinion. I have no friends in politics. I'm a recluse. It's me and a dog. But I study history and I study current events and I come to conclusions which are usually 100% accurate. I'm like Nostradamus when it comes to international affairs. And what I believe is this, and I believe the Israelis fear the Syrian Air Force. And they want the Syrian Air Force destroyed so they have no threat from the north. No threat on the Golan. They want the Air Force destroyed. They'd rather face Al-Qaeda and the ragtag groups of so-called rebels who have no heavy weapons. They have small arms. They're absolutely no threat to Israel. And so, therefore, if they take away this threat, we will now be doing the second act of a three-act play for the Israelis. We took out Saddam Hussein for them. Now they want Assad taken out. Who's next? Who is next? I'll bet you never thought you'd hear this from Michael Savage, huh?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is a very dangerous time in world history. It's the world according to me. It's one man's opinion. I'm not a historian. I mean, I'm fairly well read, but I can pretty much see what's going on. And I believe this is this has Israel's hands all over it. And maybe from their point of view, it makes sense to use their big brother to neutralize Iraq. And perhaps now they want big brother to neutralize Assad. Big brother neutralized Egypt. So, what's good for Israel is good for the world, I suppose, if you want to look at it that way. But there are unintended consequences of such adventures. Israel may have a strong military, but it's a very small country. Russia has a much more powerful military, and people have estimated there could be a conflict between Israel and Russia. I pray to God that never happened. That's right. Israel and Russia could wind up colliding over this in this situation. There have been reports that an Israeli submarine struck the port of Latakia in Syria not too long ago. Now, how many airplanes did Israel lose in the war against? Neil, do you have that number? Okay, let's put it this way. I suspected yesterday, or I surmised, let's put it that way, that Israel feared Assad's Air Force. Pretty big fear of Assad's Air Force, because the Syrian pilots are Russian-trained and they're very good. And Israel, I learned today, lost a tremendous number of jet planes, fighter planes, fighter bombers in the last interchange against Syria quite a while ago. So if this is an opportunity using the gas attack, which is likely real, as a pretext or a spark, go ahead, take them out. Well, it may not be as easy to do as it may appear for a couple of reasons. One, all of the so-called allies just pulled out of the coalition that Obama tried to put together to strike Assad's military, number one. Russia and China has said no in no uncertain terms. Russia's moving major naval assets into the area. Russia has allegedly put 40 to 50,000 troops into the area. Do you understand that this is no longer just rhetoric and that this academic group of lunatics in the White House could wind up triggering World War III? You may think it's laughable, but it may not be so laughable if things go bad the way they did at the start of World War I. I dread seeing us dragged into World War III. The drums of war are pounding. As some commentators are pounding the drums to drag us into war, Dr. Savage counsels caution, said my newsletter today. I wrote this: many individuals who are tied into the military-industrial complex are itching for war in Syria, said Savage to his audience, noting Russia is opposed to intervening. They're claiming the so-called rebels may have staged that chemical weapons attack on their own brethren in order to marshal public sympathy. This wouldn't be the first time that members of that orientation would have done such a vile thing, I said yesterday. Remember during the Lebanon situation when Hezbollah was fighting Israel? They claimed that Israel killed a Palestinian child. It took 2 years for the world to learn that the Palestinians had staged the child's injuries. Now, having said all that, what business is it of ours if Syrians want to fight a civil war? I know you're going to bring up the Holocaust. We all understand that that was then and this is now. I dread seeing us dragged into World War III. There are nuclear weapons at stake right now. And that was yesterday. It's in the daily newsletter. It comes out about three times a week. You can get a free copy in your email by going to michaelsavage.com and catch up with it. 855-400-7282. I'm sure I'll make enemies now amongst my enemies who pretended to be my friends, because apparently I'm not allowed to have any opinion on Israel except the party line. But that's the way I am. I call them as I see them, and this is how I see it. But you have to know history to know where I'm coming from. If you don't know history, you're just reading the newspapers, what I'm saying to you about Israel may not make sense. But if you know history, you may see a bigger picture, and I can't make up for a person's lack of education or interest in reality. There's also a lesson to be learned from Assad himself, and that is the cult of personality. Assad the father had a 30-year rule, an authoritarian regime that ruled with one man, and it was characterized largely like Obama's by a cult of personality, which he developed in order to maintain control over a restive population and to bring cohesion and stability to government. That's what the father did in the father of Assad. His party, the Ba'ath Party, which is the socialist structure of the government and economy, is very similar to the Stalinist state that Obama is putting in place in this country. There are many parallels between the Ba'ath Party and between Obama's executive orders and rule by dictatorship. And then you have to understand that Assad used the military to underpin his regime. And also Assad moved members of his sect, the Alawite sect, to which Assad belonged, into influential military and security positions, the same way that Obama has been moving operatives into influential military and security positions in the NSA, in the FBI, in all of the other agencies. And so watch out now, because the state of emergency that Obama is liable to call because of the conflict he will set off in the Middle East will actually further ensure the regime's stability rather than weaken it. It will strengthen it. And if I can figure it out, so can they. Will Obama go in alone? 855-400-7282. Let's begin in San Francisco. First call of the day. KSFO, Keith, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you're 100% right that Obama is going to do this alone. Not only has England dropped out, but France has also dropped out. He will do it for reasons of personal vanity. But let me tell you where I disagree with you. I would agree with you that Israel is wagging the tail if they had reason to believe that the United States was going to be the big brother and really take Assad out. But here's the problem. As you know, Obama has spent the past few days telegraphing very obviously to Assad all the places that we are thinking bombing, also going to do, as you say, we're going to do a very strategic, limited thing. Let me quote you a White House official today, Michael. If you haven't heard this, this will make you want to throw up. A White House official today said the challenge of the American military response to Syria is to be, quote, just muscular enough not to get mocked.
Wait, muscular enough not to get mocked?
The White House says we are putting together a response to Syria that will be just muscular enough not to get mocked. What they're saying is we're going to send a few missiles into places where we've already told Assad to move your plane.
Right, I get it. Didn't Clinton blow up a pharmaceutical plant in Libya to show how powerful he was?
He blew up a pharmaceutical plant in Libya, and he blew up a milk factory in...
So the same mentality is running the Obama administration's military thinking, which is just lob a few missiles and call it a day. And I have no idea what he's going to gain by doing that. I don't think... Have they not thought it through? What happens after he does that?
Well, you know that's the question. And you know who's actually pushing this policy more than anyone else? John McCain, and that doesn't surprise anybody. John McCain last night said on television, he said, don't we realize this is not just about Syria, this is about the region? And
look, John McCain is a warmonger because he's tied deeply into the defense establishment. I believe John McCain is a front man for the munitions manufacturers, period, end of story. He gets most of his money from them. So if you want to trace his funding, you'll find out why he's saying these things. That's what I think about McCain. It's that naked and it's that cynical. Now, I think it's a huge step today for the UK to walk out and say no war. You heard the opening of my show, didn't you, when he said he's going to respect the will of the people?
Absolutely. And listen, John McCain is not only a front man for munitions. Frankly, you know, you're a psychologist, Dr. Savage. You understand, as I believe you understand, John McCain is also still fighting the Vietnam War. I believe he's got PTSD. He's still struggling to fight the war he wasn't allowed to fight because of. He was shot down. That's a very scary thing. When he says it's now a regional war and that makes it our business, I say, John McCain, it's not our region.
Yes, and the fact is the will of the people is no war, just as in England. We are warred out. We had enough with Iraq and Afghanistan. No one supports this. 9% support, that's a very small number. Thank you for the call, and thanks for being so tuned in. And I have the questions again for you. Do you think Obama is going to go it alone? I do. I think he's backed himself into a corner, and he has no option right now. And you have to understand that he's going against not only world opinion, but he's going against the opinion, which is more important, of the American people themselves, us, we. It's unbelievable to me. How do you feel about Obama going around Congress and around the will of the people? How do you feel about the Republican Party refusing to come back from vacation? How do you feel about the fact that John Boehner has not called for a national press conference to oppose Obama's machinations toward war? This is Savage Nation, the last word in talk radio. I'll give you the latest news at the top of the hour and at the bottom of the hour. And I pray to God the news is not going to be bad. My guess is it's going to happen Friday night. I don't think it'll happen tonight. I told you when I think he's going to do it. I know how these people operate. I understand how they run propaganda. He understands it's a long Labor Day weekend. He understands most people will not even know he launched a war. And frighteningly, I will tell you, the dummies in this country, they won't even know that it wouldn't even care if he did. The people are so stupid. Do you think that the people on food stamps care if he launches missiles against Syria? So long as the government cheese comes through the door? Do you think that the people who have no right to vote in this country, who voted for him anyway, care if he launches missiles against some distant land they never heard of that they can't even pronounce in any language? So what? We have, 30 million people who he has discounted as voters. They've discounted you. You have no place in your own country. And if you want to break it down along certain lines, you can pretty much figure out what I'm talking about. He has marginalized you by your race and by your sexual orientation. He has said to the white heterosexual Christian males, drop dead. I don't need you. I don't want you. I've outmaneuvered you. You hate me. I hate you. I'm flooding the country with people who will outnumber you. You can take a hike. I don't care. He has told you it's not your country. In essence, his regime has stolen your country right out from under your feet. Many of us tried to warn you who this guy was. You didn't listen to us. You called us extremists. You called us every name under the sun. But there's a point at which it becomes too late. And I'm not so sure we haven't crossed that red line. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, at the top of the hour, I played the piece coming out of the British Parliament. They rejected military action. And of especial importance was Cameron's speech, which, Neil, play just Cameron's short piece again. It's very important. You hear him say, I will not use the royal prerogative to go to war. I'll respect the will of the House of Commons and the will of the people. Let's play that one.
I strongly believe in the need for a tough response to the use of chemical weapons, but I also believe in respecting the will of this House of Commons. It is very clear tonight that while the House has not passed a motion, it is clear to me that the British Parliament, reflecting the views of the British people, does not want to see British military action. I get that, and the government will act accordingly.
You hear that? I get that, and the government will act accordingly. Now, why is it that Obama doesn't think he has a Congress nor a citizenry to pay attention to? Because all of his life he's been a narcissist and an egomaniac, a man who thinks he's above everyone, and he's liable to make the biggest mistake not only of his life, but of the life of this country. How much war can this country take? Let's take your calls on this. Leo on WCRN in Boston, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Hey, Mike. I am very much an Obama detractor. I think you're probably right on Israel, or very close. And if I were counseling President Obama, I would counsel him in the most strenuous way not to go to war in Syria. I don't think it's in our interests. And I think it's a disaster waiting to happen for a lot of reasons. However, that being said, I disagree with you, and I don't think Cameron came across strong. I think he came across kind of wishy-washy. I mean, he's a leader. Leaders lead. And the President of the United States is not accountable to me or you or anybody else when he's making decisions of this magnitude. And I'm going to say, forget about President Obama. I'm just going to say the president. The president of the United States doesn't need my permission to exercise executive powers as commander.
Well, you're wrong about that. What if he passed an executive order saying that all conservatives should be gassed to death? What would you say? He has the right to do that?
I'm saying this.
No. What if he passed an executive order saying all Christians must turn their Bibles into the local police station and the Bibles must be burned? What would you say? That's his prerogative?
Well, clearly, Mike, I wouldn't support.
Well, he would say it's in the interest of homosexuals to see the Bible burned. And in the sake of diversity, we must burn all of the Bibles.
Let me give you an example.
Well, what if he did that? What, you'd say that he has the authority to do that?
No, well, we're talking about his war powers.
I understand that. But he doesn't have unlimited powers. He's not God. I mean, I don't know if you know the Constitution as well as you appear to be a very educated, a very well-educated man. There is a separation of power and a balance of power. He doesn't have supreme power. That's how the government was set up that way, so that no one could become a dictator. But because Congress has abrogated its responsibilities, he is stealing that power to himself.
Mike, am I still here?
I don't know. I hear you.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln, I guess what I'm trying to say is we don't expect our president to be a poll-driven leader. We expect him to lead from his heart, from what he thinks is in the national interest.
Oh, you mean whatever he feels? You mean a little liberal code, if it feels good, do it?
No.
If it feels good, do it. In other words, why not do it in the road? Have sex with anyone you want. Go to war with anyone you want. If it feels good, do it. That's some way to run a country.
Do you agree that if Abraham Lincoln were poll-driven during the Civil War, we wouldn't have concluded the Civil War the way we did?
Well, there are people who would argue that Abraham Lincoln was a dictator and a monster.
Well, Lincoln's my hero, and Lincoln...
Well, I don't care if he's your hero. He did account for an awful lot of murder in this country, didn't he?
He certainly did, but he was courageous in making the decisions he did.
I don't know how courageous he was. There are historians and legitimate ones at that who say that the Civil War wasn't entirely about freeing the slaves, that it was also about a North-South industrial war. You know that as well as I do.
I totally do. But all I'm saying is...
Well, you see, but it's interesting that you would even acknowledge it. Most people wouldn't even hear what I just said. It was an industrial war, and Lincoln wanted the North to win the industrial war. And they wrapped it around the humanitarian issue of slavery the same way. This is an interesting parallel. You've led me to this conclusion, or let us say a surmisal. Obama's wrapping himself around a humanitarian action, but you and I well know it's always about power and money. And so where is the power and money for America in knocking out Assad? Can you tell me that?
No, I agree. And the other thing we haven't talked about either is the Qatar influence. Qatar is behind this war. They're backing the rebels because of the oil pipeline. They're trying to get through Western not oil, natural gas to Western Europe. And that's why Russia is...
Oh, that's interesting. 1998, I wrote an article, The Oily Tracks Run Through Kosovo. It's a repeat of history. Clinton stole Kosovo from the Serbs to run an oil pipeline from the Caspian Sea into Europe. So now this is the same story again?
Qatar wants to run natural gas to Western Europe, which obviously is against Russia's interests. And Qatar is already, I think I heard, $2 or $3 billion into the rebels. Of course, not because of human rights violations, because of their interest in supplying Western Europe with natural gas to compete with...
All right. Well, look, Leo, you're a very, very, you're a tremendously good caller for two reasons. One, we disagree completely, but two, you're very reasonable.
Thank you. And
it's
you know
very
what?
Hard to find. It's very hard to find reasonable people to disagree with. You're one of the few. Normally, people get their backs up and tell you you're crazy, you're wrong, and they don't even listen to what you're saying. I'm sending you a fresh copy, just off the press, Trickle Down Tyranny in paperback, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. And yes, you can find Syria in there. And yes, you can find the Responsibility to Protect Doctrine, which is helping Islamist radicals in the Middle East, on pages 154 and on in Trickle Down Tyranny. And yes, I am not a prophet. I am a talk show host. This is The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We have been very clear to the Assad regime, but also to other players on the ground, that a red line for us is we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized.
We have to do something because the president laid a red line down. This is an unacceptable act, and so I think we're committed, or we'll look weak and he'll continue to test us. I think we need to think in terms of a longer campaign, not that this might be just one act and then finished. In Iraq, what we did, because we assumed we would be doing this repeatedly, we decided what kinds of targets we wanted to take down to make the regime more vulnerable.
Playing this song for the K Street Vultures, who are salivating at the contracts that will be flowing again. Now, at the same time this is going on, the illegitimate Justice Department says it will allow pot use in two states. You don't see a connection between massive drug use and the illegitimate seizure of power by this administration. I do. It's hand in glove, goes together. You neutralize one group after another. You give this one gay marriage. You give that one marijuana. You give that one a citizenship that they don't deserve. And before long, all you have left as an opponent are 30 million Americans who work hard and support all of the other groups. And they have no power or say in their own government. And then you've got the taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. The big speech today, of course, is that of Cameron, which I can't get enough of it. You know, look, this is a hard thing for me to do, which is glorify the British government, given my situation with them. But I admire them very much today. The UK vote today rejecting military action made me feel hopeful that someone in the West still understands that there's a citizenry that has a right to express itself. Unlike the petty tin pot dictator we have in the White House. I'd like to play that
Order, order, order from the beginning, Neil. Let's hear the whole thing.
Order! Order!
Order. Order. Order.
The eyes to the right, 272. The nose to the left, 285.
Sounds like democracy to me.
Thank you. Order. Mr.
Master
McNeil.
And commander.
You're like an exploded volcano. Erupted. Calm yourself, man. The eyes to the right, 272. The nose to the left, 285. So the nose have it. The nose have it. Unlock. Point of order, Mr. Ed Miliband.
Mr. Speaker, on a point of order, there having been no motion passed by this House tonight, can the Prime Minister confirm to the House that he will not use the royal prerogative to order the UK to be part of military action, given the will of the House that has been expressed tonight, before there's been another vote in this House of Commons?
It is, of course, not a matter for the chair, but the Prime Minister has heard it and is welcome to respond.
Point of order, and I can give that assurance. Let me say the House has not voted for either motion tonight. I strongly believe in the need for a tough response to the use of chemical weapons, but I also believe in respecting the will of this House of Commons. It is very clear tonight that while the House has not passed a motion, it is clear to me that the British Parliament, reflecting the views of the British people, does not want to see British military action. I get that, and the government will act accordingly.
Well, I think I'm afraid. I maybe if I were younger, I would apply for citizenship in England. I would probably be very happy in the Parliament. I like their guttural reactions to each other. I like their emotion. We have nothing like that here. We have a bunch of drunks and drug addicts sitting there like stooges. It's unbelievable to me. Now, look, my time is too limited here to tell you all of the history of the ancient Middle East. I can't do that. I can't tell you about the comings and goings of the Semitic tribes from the beginning of recorded history until today. I mean, one day Syria ruled Egypt, then Egypt ruled Syria, and then Assyria and Egypt. And you look at all of the various countries, and you see the foreigners coming, and you see the colonies created by the so-called great powers. What you're seeing right today, again, is an attempt to recolonize Syria and the entire Middle East. As far as I can tell, this is an act of colonial aggression on the part of Obama. And this is ironic, by the way, for you, quote, liberals who are against colonialism. You're watching a president acting in an imperialistic manner and acting as though he's a colonial titan wanting to crush a colonial power that he has no favor with for strictly material reasons. It's colonialism all over again being enacted by the Obama administration, but it's occurring right under your noses and you don't even understand it because he is A, man of color, and B, he's a leftist, so he can't be a man who is trying to create a colony in Syria, can he? Well, open up your eyes and smell the oil. KSFO, Rick, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to point out that you are correct that one of the main reasons why there's a Western-led coalition attempting to attack Syria is indeed the fact that they're a part of the axis of resistance against the Israelis, and the Israelis do want to neutralize them. However, one of the other big reasons is indeed what a previous caller touched in on, which was natural gas. Off the coast of Israel, there has been discovered a very large reserve of shale gas, as well as the fact that the Qataris export a very large amount of it to Western Europe through Turkey, funny enough. Notice those three countries right there. As well as the fact that Saudi Arabia is extremely upset that Iran might try to economically dominate the region and take away its primary role in the region as a superpower in and of itself.
Okay, but the big issue, the big point in your call is the natural gas coming through Syria. Isn't that your point?
Yes, that's correct. Iran is building a pipeline starting in Shiite Iran, continuing through Shiite Iraq, and then ending in the Mediterranean through Syria, thereby cutting out Turkey, Israel, and Qatar, which would not only serve the region's interests more towards Iran, but it would also benefit the Russians as well, which was a big no-no for the West. And so what you have...
Where do you get your information from, Rick? I don't doubt it. I've seen some of this. I haven't read it in detail about the natural gas, but what is the best source for this suspicion?
I just piece it together. I mean, the mainstream media, if you only go to one source, you're not going to get the whole picture. You just have to kind of pick it up from pieces that... And then you read theory papers from other people. You know, of course, they have to back it with good facts. Otherwise, it's just a theory. One of my personal favorite websites is Infowars.com as well.
I know that site, but he tends to be anti-Semitic, in my opinion, and anti-Israel on every account, and I'm not. I support the state of Israel, but in this case, I don't support going to war, and I don't care who's pulling our chain. See, that's the point. I don't support Israel's position if they are behind this. But it doesn't mean I don't support Israel, which I do, and that's different than the guy who runs InfoWars who seems to have a vendetta against Israel. That's what I see every time I go on that site. And I happen to like the host of the site very much, but I think he's wrong about Israel. I think he's got that backwards. But let's stick to the realpolitik here. It is natural gas, as you say. If you're listening to this show and you're Jewish or you're Christian, you understand that there's also a very deep religious story going on here. And that the plight of the Christians and the Jews in Syria may be at stake. And if Assad is removed, you will see happen to the Christians in Syria, which is a very ancient community, what happened to the Christians when the Muslim Brotherhood took over. Churches will be burned, Christians will be crucified and or murdered. There was once a very great Jewish community in Syria, and it is also protected by Assad, incidentally. Isn't that interesting? The dictator. Isn't that interesting? But if you look at the history of the kings of Israel in ancient times and the kings of Judah in ancient times, you will understand how Israel or ancient Palestine came to be. And really, it's a history of two little states ground up between first Syria, then Assyria, and then Babylon to the north and Egypt to the south. It was then a tale of many disasters and of many deliverances that only delayed a final disaster. It is also a tale of barbaric kings ruling a barbaric people. In 721 BC, for those of you who know your Bible history, the kingdom of Israel was swept away into captivity by the Assyrians. You may not know about that, but the captivity that the Jewish people referred to in the holy books is about that captivity. And then the Jewish people were utterly lost to history for a long period of time. Open and shut, the case is not. But it was in Babylon, in the captivity in Babylon, that the ancient Jewish people got their history together and evolved the traditions that we now know to be Judaism. And I can't tell you all of it again. This is a radio show and a few sweeps of a few words on the program. I try to put together a little history. And even if you don't remember what I just said to you, you're seeing the winds of history all over again. They're blowing all over again. What we don't see, though, from ancient times, in my unhumble opinion, are the priests and prophets of ancient Judea, which existed then as sure as I'm sitting here. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yep, priests and prophets in ancient Judea. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're watching history in front of our eyes, and the history is not a very pleasant picture to watch because it's really not just about the gassing of innocent civilians in Syria. It's really about creating a new colony in Syria for many commercial reasons and the division of the land. What's dangerous here, of course, is that Russia is not to be discounted summarily, the Russian leadership, let us say, is not the American electorate. But apparently Valerie Jarrett and Samantha Powers don't know that. Apparently Samantha Powers and Valerie Jarrett think they can sweep the Russians aside the same way they've swept the Republicans aside. But I don't think that they're right. And I know that we have no democracy here whatsoever. Because if we did, there would have been a press conference tonight by John Boehner. He would have called an emergency press conference and called all the networks. And he would have gotten up there and he would have said, we vehemently demand a vote before any war is enacted. But Boehner is a game player. He's making believe he doesn't want the war, but he knows damn well he'll do whatever he's told to do. We have no equivalent of the Tories in the Labour Party in this country. At least there's a clear division in so many ways. There's no division here. They're one and the same. And now we have a pure dictatorship where he says, I don't care what England does, I'll do what I want. Cameron said, I will not use the royal prerogative, the equivalent of the executive order. I will represent the will of the House of Commons and the will of the people. Have you heard Obama say that? Obama could say, I would like to go to war. Obama could say, we must go to war, but I'm not going to do it because I respect the will of Congress and the will of the people. When has he ever done that? When has this narcissistic man ever done that? When is this narcissist who was foisted upon us by powers we can never understand, when has he ever respected Congress or the people? Tell me when. I'll take your calls before I make more enemies than any human being should ever make in a single night. The phone number is 855-407-282. What do you think is going on? How do you feel about Obama? You think he's going to do it on his own? I think he has to, by the way. First woman of the night, Anna Carroll on WABC in New York. You're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, sir. You and I are only 4 days apart. You're only 4 days older than I am, but you are much wiser.
Well, that's sweet of you. I don't know how wise I am, but I'd like to hear your wisdom.
Well, I'll tell you. I live in New York City, not far from the George Washington Bridge, and today I was talking to various friends of mine because we're going to have a mayor's election soon, and I'm working on one of the campaigns. And I'll tell you, there are people in New York City who honestly believe that if we get into a war with Syria, that there are going to be missiles flying over Manhattan.
Where would the missiles come from? They have to be launched by some mechanism. Where would they come from?
Submarines off of 4 miles out.
Who could do that other than Russia?
Thank you.
So you actually fear Russia would launch against the United States?
But how could we tell if it was Russia? There are thousands and thousands of submarines from all different countries.
Well, I personally don't think that Russia would need to do that to make their point. I think that they'd use their submarines to launch against our naval forces, our surface fleet, don't you?
I do, but I also think that there are people who have, after the Middle East conflagration of the last 4 or 5 years, have gotten their hands on missiles and their hands on submarines. And when I tell you that, I'm talking about people who are in politics here, and we talked about that today.
Are they all Democrats? I don't know. I'm not asking for names. What do you mean people in politics? You mean fairly high up people running campaigns who fear this?
Yes. That the day they were talking today about how lucky we have been.
But let me ask you something. Do Democrats support Obama going to war alone in Syria?
Oh, no, no. There is no, I live in Washington Heights, which is predominantly Hispanic. And the Hispanics say, dear God, how much more can this country take? And African Americans who live in my building say, how many more children and grandchildren are we going to lose? Because it's the blacks and Hispanics who are in the armed forces. And, you know, the Americans...
Well, wait. Before you say that, there's a disproportionate number of deaths amongst white males in the military. Make no mistake about it. The combat units in our war zones, the deaths and the injuries are inordinately applying to Caucasians. You wouldn't know that reading the newspapers, but study the data. But let's put race aside. They don't want war. So who is behind the war, my dear lady? My fair lady, who is behind the war? It's the Savage Nation. I'll throw that question wide. We'll open wide on 8 million stages.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I want to read a piece of an article called The Geopolitics of Gas and the Syrian Crisis, Syrian Opposition, so-called, armed to thwart construction of the Iran-Iraq-Syria gas pipeline. It came out May 31st, 2013, in the website called Global Research. Global Research, something that I normally don't go to. And I'm going to give you some of the highlights. I'll do some of your research for you, because the whole thing smells of blood and gas. This entire hysteria, the war drums being beaten, smells of blood and gas. And here's what they write. What has one of the most democratic countries of the Middle East, Syria, well, I wouldn't agree with that, done to tick off some of its neighbors in the West, the fierce fighters for democracy? The irrationality and unscrupulousness of the approaches Western countries have taken to the Syrian crisis, when the same people who in Europe are considered terrorists are declared freedom fighters when it comes to Syria, becomes clearer in light of the economic dimensions of the Syrian tragedy. There is every reason to think that by helping destroy its own cultural and historical roots in Syria, Europe is first and foremost fighting for energy resources. And a special role is played by natural gas, which is emerging as the main fuel of the 21st century. The geopolitical problems connected with its production, transportation, and use are perhaps more than any other topic on the radar of Western strategists. That's the beginning of a very long article. And they're talking about the battle that is raging over whether the pipelines will go toward Europe from east to west, from Iran and Iraq to the Mediterranean coast of Syria, or take a more northbound route from Qatar and Saudi Arabia via Syria and Turkey. Having realized that the stalled Nabucco pipeline, and indeed the entire southern corridor, are backed up only by Azerbaijan's reserves and can never equal Russian supplies to Europe or thwart the construction of the South Stream, the West is in a hurry to replace them with resources from the Persian Gulf. So where does Syria fit in? Here's what they write. Syria ends up being a key link in this chain, and it leans in favor of Iran and Russia. Thus, it was decided in the Western capitals that its regime needs to change. The fight for so-called democracy is a false flag thrown out to cover up totally different aims. I'm posting the article up on my website under a rather blatant title, which is called It's the Gas Stupid, in order to attract the biggest, the largest amount of people to read it. It's the Gas Stupid, and it's from a brilliant kind of analysis here, worth reading, Global Research, by Dmitry Menin, whoever he may be. It's probably a pseudonym. The geopolitics of gas in the Syrian crisis, Syrian opposition armed to thwart construction of the Iran-Iraq-Syria gas pipeline. Their other top stories are as follows. Don't attack Syria. The United States is in no position to claim moral authority. Barack Obama, the dreamer with a kill list. Obama's war on Syria is based on lies. U.S. and British intelligence officials admit they don't know whether the Syrian government or rebels used chemical weapons. And finally, Obama at the Lincoln Memorial, draping his administration in the mantle of Martin Luther King. Sounds like a good website to me. I don't know who. This is amazing. U.S.-NATO campaign to justify Syria war disintegrates as attack looms. Descending into chaos, gearing up for an imminent invasion of Syria, an act which could ignite World War III. Can you imagine that? Commit a war crime to cover up a war crime. Phony Syria poison gas attack. You hear this? Listen to this. Commit a war crime to cover up a war crime, question mark. Well, I don't know who these people are. I think these are truthers in a certain way, and God knows if they're right about this or wrong about this. But, you know, you can make any theory fit reality if you wish. The question is it morally responsible to go to war alone when there are no national interests at stake? You say, well, what would you have suggested during the Holocaust if Hitler were killing the Jews? Don't you think we should have gone to war to save the Jews? Well, let's take that head on, because it's being used by the warmongers to emotionally engage decent people into the war party, to joining the war party. First of all, let's assume for the moment that we know for sure that it was Assad who launched the gas attack. Let's take that theory. Well, he's not doing it every day, is he? It's not like the boxcars are running into Auschwitz and by going to war we'll stop the gas chambers. He's not doing it again. He's not doing it over and over and over again, is he? So listen to what I just said. Using my brilliant mind and my Aristotelian logic, which is flawless, what I just said to you has destroyed the whole Holocaust analogy. I'll repeat it if you missed it. The Holocaust was an ongoing travesty against humanity. And war was justified because it did interrupt the Holocaust. It interrupted it. So for that reason alone, it was a justifiable, war was justifiable. But he's not using gas every day against different elements of the Syrian population. Therefore, to go to war makes no sense from the point of view of humanitarianism. You could say, well, he did it, didn't he? So then what, you're saying two wrongs make a right? So killing now justifies killing? Going to war now is to punish Assad, assuming he did it? So now you're saying two wrongs make a right. And now how different are you than Assad if you're going to kill massive numbers of Syrians, whether they be soldiers or otherwise? So therefore, I think I've destroyed the argument that might be used by some in order to inveigle some of the more liberal members of America into the war party. People who are normally anti-war, we shall, oh, the marchers, the bus rides, the patchouli oil, the underarm hair, the sex on the buses, the anti-war movement, the crystals, the chlamydia claras. Where are they today? How come they're not marching against the war? Are they so stupid that they don't understand they have become the warmongers by supporting the warmongers? Or they not even know what's going on? Where's Barbara Streisand? We don't need her. Where are all of the loudmouths of Hollywood? Well, they're burned out. They're finished. They got nothing more to say. All of the loudmouths of that generation are gone. Instead, we have an intergenerational epidemic of insane liberalism now in the form of other players. I'll take your calls now that I finished my spiel on the Savage Nation. I've given you my spritz, my big spritz. Would you like to talk about the natural gas theory? Would you like to talk about what you think Obama will do this on his own? Because I think he will. He's backed himself into a corner. Or would you rather talk about why the Republicans are silent about Syria? That's a great call. See, the Republicans are on vacation, but the British came back from holiday from Mallorca and having Gallimari. They came back from Mallorca to vote, and they said niet to war. But not our drunks and druggies. No, no, no. But why not? Why are the Republicans silent about Syria? Joel, I think you're either calling to ask that or answer that. Are you calling to ask it or answer it?
Well, I have a theory about it, Dr. Savage, and I think you're...
I'd love to hear it because I think that they're in on the natural gas game.
My theory on it really is that they know this is bad for the country, and they want to sit back and let him do this to our country, cause all these issues, so they can sit back and say, you know, look what the left side has done, and point the blame, you know.
Wow, you know, it's very clear. It's that simple. In other words, there may not even be a mercenary interest in the part of the Republicans. It's strictly a partisan calculation that by letting Obama go crazy on the war, they can use it against him in the election.
Right, it's just like the Obamacare thing, you know, they want to say, well, do we defund it or do we let it happen and see how miserable everyone will be so we can have some leverage? And I think that's more of a disservice to, you know, the country than it is, you know.
It's interesting. It's a political calculation. It's strictly a calculation that the people hate the war, so let them go into it. So when the midterm elections come about next year, the Democrats will be swept out of power.
Right, I believe so.
Well, I think you're right. You know, I like simple explanations for complicated questions because they're usually correct. They're usually correct, Joel.
And I have one question for you. What do you think about Senator Cruz? I really like him, and I think that he aligns, you know, with more what the country believes in. But I know a lot of politicians that have kind of been popular in the past. You know, your insight, you know, kind of keeps, you know, it's a different perspective to where people, you know, they might.
Well, here's my answer on Cruz. I like him. I like what he says, but I don't trust him. I don't trust him any more than I trust any other politician because I've seen the Ted Cruz type come along before. They say the right things, they make the right moves, and then when it comes right down to it, they move right to the center or further to the left. I can name three of them. Whatever happened to Paul Ryan? Whatever happened to some of the other great hopes for the conservative movement? Where did they wind up once they had power? Where's Eric Cantor today? He's invisible, right?
Right.
You remember they were making lots of noise 2 years ago? They were the great hopes of the party? Where'd they go? I can name others. Even that Schlemiel from Miami, the ice cream man, looked good in the beginning. I loved him at the convention. I even forgot his name. What's the Schlemiel's name? Marco Rubio. I loved him at the convention. He told a great story. I identified with it. He said the right things, and look where he wound up. He wound up basically doing Obama's bidding on amnesty for illegals. So I don't know whether to trust Cruz, and I'll tell you what sets me off. It's very personal, and I use this as a bellwether for every one of them. They won't come on my show. Why not? If I represent a significant audience in America, which I do, and I've written one brilliant analysis after another, which are clearly conservative, clearly conservative in orientation, what is he afraid of? Why? So therefore, someone's advising him to stay away from the savage audience. Others have done it. And every one of them has disappeared from the political scene. Every last one of those so-called conservatives who made the right noise, said the right things, went on to Wallbanger show, got a lot of attention from the Wallbangerites and the You're a Great American crowd, never came on the show, and they've disappeared from the political scene. So I have to say to you, it's both an analysis and a little personal on my part. That's how I draw my conclusion, that I don't trust them.
It is very personal, because in my area in the Southeast, a lot of people are hanging their hats on him because we believe a lot of what he says, you know, and he lines.
All right, and God bless him if he is true to his statements. I wouldn't care whether he came on the show or not, but I have no reason to believe he will be. It's that simple. So what do you think about the geopolitics of the gas and the Syrian crisis that I touched on a little while ago? Do you think there's any validity to that, Joel?
I do think that there is some, but I think really, you know, it's amazing, Dr. Savage. When I listened to your show last night, you know, when you talked about, you know, Israel being, you know, in the mix there, it's almost like a crime scene where a detective goes in and he looks at, you know, where's the motive? You know, what motive does he have? Like you said, he's winning the war. You know, why would he take that risk to use chemical weapons to...
That's right. He's winning the war. The other side is losing. The UN inspectors are on the ground, and he's so stupid that he launches a chemical gas attack against the people to marshal international opposition to his regime. It doesn't make any sense. So, again, we're just trying to use common sense in a world where there is none.
Right. And that's...
Joel, I want to ask you something, if you care to answer it. What do you do for a living? Are you retired, or do you have a current occupation?
Actually, I'm 27 years old. I work in the chemical business.
Well, you sound like a much more mature gentleman. You have an extremely analytical mind, and I live for callers like this on the Savage Nation. Joel, I want to send you Trickle Down Tyranny in paperback, because I think you'd love reading it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Secretary Kerry and the President have said they want to go to the United Nations for approval. How about going to the United States Congress? You know, the Constitution gives Congress the authority to declare war, and this President doesn't seem to view it as remotely a priority to go to Congress to make the case why any military action is in our national security, and I think that's his responsibility.
Well, that's Ted Cruz. It's a good statement, and I support him 100% in what he is saying. It's that simple. He's the best we have right now, and whether he's being handled by the same people who mishandle Romney is a matter of conjecture, which really has no relevance right now. Here's the latest news from AP. This came out minutes ago. AP sources say intelligence on weapons is no slam dunk, with questions remaining about who actually controls some of Syria's chemical weapons stores and doubts about whether Assad himself ordered the strike, U.S. intelligence officials say. Now, this is despite the fact that Kerry and Biden went out like fools, saying they definitively knew it. Kerry said, we know that the Syrian regime did this. The CIA, the Pentagon, and the Office of Director of National Intelligence declined comment, and the White House did not respond to requests for comment this evening. The headline is pretty clear. Intelligence on weapons, no slam dunk, from the Associated Press. The UK Prime Minister Cameron lost the Syria war vote. That's a very big story. France has backed out. UK has backed out. I think Germany was in on the slaughter, but they've backed out. Now we heard tonight that it's all about gas, natural gas, and that the arming of the Syrian so-called opposition is to stop the construction of an Iran-Iraq-Syria gas pipeline. There have been other theories, such as that Israel would like to see Assad's Air Force taken out. Look, you don't know. It's the ancient game all over again, going back to the beginning of time when the Semites ruled the area, then were ruled in the area, and the we don't know what's going to fall next, but to me it looks like colonialism at work. And what's, I hate to keep using the word ironic to me, because there's no such thing as irony with Obama. What's ironic to me about Obama is here is a man who was an anti-colonialist, who was acting very much like a colonial a despot, trying to colonize Syria in one way or another. That's what it looks like, plain simple to me. But nobody really will ever know what went on here. It's the same as Iraq. The fake WMDs dragged us into war. What did we get out of that? Think about that. We went into Iraq. The neocons were screaming about weapons of mass destruction. They were going to use them on us. They were going to use them on Europe. Wallbanger and the others were all gung-ho. They did everything short of joining the march to Baghdad. But I wasn't in favor of the war, not after about a year of it when I saw we were getting nothing out of it. Moreover, I got to tell you this. I called for oil as a reparation from the Iraqis. No one else ever asked for that. They had one of the largest oil stores in the world. They still do. We got nothing out of it. We lost, what, $3 trillion and God knows how many lives and limbs and eyes and ears and noses and throats to liberate 24 million Shia from the dominance of Saddam Hussein. And what did we get out of it? Not even a barrel of oil. I asked for it in my earlier books. I've asked for reparations from Mexico for the cost of maintaining the illegal alien hordes in this country. I asked for one barrel of oil per illegal alien in America per month. Did we get so much as one barrel of oil from Mexico sitting on one of the largest proven reserves in the world right across our border? It could be transported above ground in pipelines or in trucks. Did we get one barrel of oil from Mexico? No, not one barrel of oil. So it doesn't matter what logic dictates. There is no logic in a world of greed and madness. And this one about to occur, and it will occur as sure as I'm sitting here. You can pretty much be sure that Obama's going to go it alone, because blood and gas is in the air. Blood and gas is in the air, and this man has backed himself into a corner. Think about it if you're him. Think about it. He needs his bomber jacket moment, doesn't he? After all, the same people who had Bill Clinton put on the bomber jacket after he decimated Serbia on an invented pretext are now advising him to bomb this one, to bomb Syria, again on an invented pretext, and he needs his bomber jacket moment. He needs to fly over there in the middle of the act, put on the bomber jacket, and after a secret arrival there with the boys, shake their hands, give them a turkey, give them a baseball hat, and then come home to cheering crowds, which will be arranged by Valerie Jarrett and the others in the Obama camp. I mean, look, it's all politics. I hate to sound like the 5,000-year-old man who's seen it all, because I haven't seen it all, but I've seen this act. I've seen this act before, and it wasn't too long ago. So of you, it was called Iraq. And by the way, why are we in Afghanistan? And by the way, if he's a Nobel Peace Prize winner, why isn't he giving peace a chance? Why is he rushing to war when we don't even know who used the gas? And whoever used it is not using it right now, so what's to be gained? Do you ever think about that? What's to be gained? He's not using the gas currently, is he? Blood and gas is in the air. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, you made it to Thursday night. And we know democracy exists, but not in America, where a single demagogue seems to rule the land by force of will and complicity, the complicity of the press. That's right. The UK voted, can you imagine, to reject military action against Syria. How do you like that? 285-272, after a long day of debate, can you imagine? And they came back from vacation. Can you imagine? Not in America. No, the anointed one, the great one, the tyrant, let's call it what it is, the tyrant, trickle-down tyranny, I said it like it is, the tyrant will decide what he wants to do and when he'll do it. It's a shock to believe that the West is sinking into the abyss of dictatorship. Meanwhile, it's likely that Assad's evil younger brother may have ordered the poison gas attack. Okay, it's possible. Russia is sending warships to the Mediterranean. Listen, I want you to go to michaelsavage.com. It's hour number 3 of the Savage Nation for Thursday, August 29th, 2013. But the stories are all up on my website. Take a look at the picture of Russia's warships. You can laugh them off all you want. They look pretty formidable to me. As the West prepares for the dictator to fire some Tomahawk missiles against Syria, the Russians are sending in some heavy-duty warships. There are rumors there are 50,000 Russian special forces on the ground, and I'm predicting that Obama may be stupid enough to launch a strike. 855-407-282 is the phone number. Meanwhile, in America, a woman brutally beaten by teen girls in a racial attack. She was white. They were black. It didn't make it to the White House's memento chamber. Hassan could spend decades on death row. He's the doll, the Muslim major, who killed 13 in cold blood and shot 32 others. Yeah. Meanwhile, Google's billionaire Brin has a gal pal that he's having an affair with. She was shuffled to a new position in the office, and it's not a supine position, I assume. The New York Police Department, what? Designates mosques as terrorism organizations? That's interesting. How'd they figure that out? Well, I can tell you more of it. There's one after the other, one picture after the other in the rogues gallery on the Savage Nation. A rogues gallery. Woman gouges out eyes of 6-year-old boy. Possible cornea is taken for sale because of donor shortage in China. I know you don't want to believe any of that. I know you don't. How about this one for one of the young girls? Mother stuffed baby in toilet after giving birth. She coolly returned to watch a wrestling match. Unbelievable. I suspect that you're not going to want to look at that story. If you missed the dangers of fish oil lie, remember there was a big lie about a month and a half ago about fish oils and prostate cancer? It was all based on flawed science, according to not only Dr. Michael Savage, yours truly, but another doctor, an MD, PhD from a great university who concurs with me. If that's not enough for you, go see the after-death experiences explained, so-called. Do you know that the British Parliament was called back from vacation, while our old drunks and drug addicts will not come back from vacation? The old stumblebums called Congress refused to come back from vacation and vote on going to war? Can you imagine that they have usurped, rather than actually abrogated is the correct word, they've abrogated their responsibilities? They won't go back to work. It's too important, their vacation. Well, I ask you two questions. Will Obama go to war alone? If he does go to war alone, what will happen? Because you know it's not going to be good. Russia moved its fleet in. Take a look at the picture of their ships. If you think Russia is Potemkin's Navy, you're crazy. Take a look at the Russian Navy moving into the port there, the size of their missile cruisers. There are reports that there are 50,000 Russian troops in Syria right now to protect their sphere of influence, to protect their naval base at Aleppo. They're not just going to lay down for this gang that's going to come in and start lobbing bombs at them. Syria today has the capacity to be the spark that starts World War III. China opposes any military action. Russia opposes any military action. England opposes it. France opposes it. Germany opposes it. But the man in the White House, the man who thinks he is above the law and God himself, can decide all on his own with the three women around him. Samantha Powers, that dangerous lunatic. That dangerous lunatic, Samantha Powers. Valerie Jarrett, the first lady, the mother-in-law. They're going to decide whether to go to war. Do you know what the White House said today after this vote in England? The White House, arrogant as usual, said that the master's decision on a possible military strike against Syria will be guided by America's best interests. Now, what the hell does that mean? You mean the people have no feeling on that? We're too stupid to know what our best interests are? They are suggesting that the anointed one may decide to act if Valerie Jarrett gets up on the wrong side of bed tomorrow morning. He will use what the British will not use, which is the royal prerogative. It's unbelievable to me what has happened here right in our lifetime. And there's not a peep coming from the other side. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, the guy who runs the Republicans came out and muttered something. Where is he going? He should hold a press conference. Boehner's responsibility is to call for a national press conference tonight. Right now. And go on the air and say that the president has no right to go against the will of Congress and the will of the people. And we will not stand by idly while he uses executive order to put American troops and American Air Force men in harm's way and upset the entire Middle East. As despicable as these pictures are and these acts are, the death of 355 people, we've all seen the images of sickened men, women, and children writhing on the floor. Let's assume that they're real. Maybe the suffering is real. I wouldn't put it past Assad nor his crazed brother. Assad's father gassed his own brethren when the father was in power. I remember that atrocity. This would be nothing new for them. However, and this is the big question, what is America's interest here? What is America's best interest here? And why is America suddenly so concerned with a humanitarian issue when there have been so many other atrocities on the planet that it looked away from? And these are the questions that are worth asking. And I don't know why we're not getting the answers that we deserve. The fact is that we have a dictator in the White House who has acted this way before. He gave amnesty to 4 million illegal aliens under the so-called Dream Act just before the election. That's what launched him over the top. That's how he stole the election. He knows he doesn't have the people's will to grant amnesty to the 50 million illegal aliens who are on our shore in our country today. He knows he doesn't have the votes for that. He may have the votes for it, but he may not have the people behind him. Every poll will tell you that, no matter what the brainwashing coming from the government media complex. And so the will of the people says, no, we don't want, we can't absorb, they don't belong here, we don't want 70 million illegal aliens. We're not giving away our birthright. But the dictator will do it anyway. Gay marriage, he did it anyway. Illegal aliens, he'll do it anyway. War, he'll do it anyway. And there are diehard liberals in your family that no matter what this man does, they will back him. They will say Obama, right or wrong. They will say Obama is America. No matter what Obama does, he's right. They don't care about right or wrong. They don't care what it is. They are in love with the man. It's Obama, right or wrong. And some of them are intelligent people, but they're weak. They're intelligent but weak. And they have a streak in them that I would say approaches insanity. That's why I wrote Liberalism is a Mental Disorder 7 years ago. So I'll ask the question again, will Obama go to war alone? Will he do it alone? My personal gut feeling is he will. He is an egomaniac, he's a narcissist, and he's backed himself into a corner. Meaning he can't not go to war now. He's basically said he's going to, right? So now if he doesn't, he looks weak. And if he does, and he does a limp-wristed firing of some missiles, Tomahawks or whatever, at which targets we don't know. There are rumors that Assad is out of the country with his family, hiding in Iran. I suspected yesterday that he would already have, since there's so much of an announcement, that he's moved his airplanes to hardened shelters underground or flown them to Iran, for all we know. And I also told you yesterday, if you just tuned in to the Savage Nation, that I think Israel's pulling the strings on America right now. That's what I personally believe, and I told you why. I believe that. And I want to be very clear. I am a supporter of the State of Israel. I believe they're the best country in the Middle East. I admire what the people have done with that land. And I have supported Israel from the day it was created. That doesn't mean I support the people who are running it in every administration or at all times. If they are in fact pulling the string or wagging the dog, well, shame on them. They should be called out. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is a very dangerous time in world history. It's the world according to me. It's one man's opinion. I'm not a historian. I mean, I'm fairly well read, but I can pretty much see what's going on. And I believe this has Israel's hands all over it. Maybe from their point of view it makes sense. to use their big brother to neutralize Iraq. And perhaps now they want big brother to neutralize Assad. Big brother neutralized Egypt. So, what's good for Israel is good for the world, I suppose, if you want to look at it that way. But there are unintended consequences of such adventures. Israel may have a strong military, but it's a very small country. Russia has a much more powerful military, and people have estimated there could be a conflict between Israel and Russia. I pray to God that never happened. That's right. Israel and Russia could wind up colliding over this in this situation. There have been reports that an Israeli submarine struck the port of Latakia in Syria not too long ago. Now, how many airplanes did Israel lose in the war? Let's put it this way. I suspected yesterday, or I surmised, let's put it that way, that Israel feared Assad's Air Force. Pretty big fear of Assad's Air Force, because the Syrian pilots are Russian-trained and they're very good. And Israel, I learned today, lost a tremendous number of jet planes, fighter planes, fighter bombers in the last interchange against Syria quite a while ago. So if this is an opportunity using the gas attack, which is likely real, as a pretext or a spark, go ahead, take them out. Well, it may not be as easy to do as it may appear for a couple of reasons. One, all of the so-called allies just pulled out of the coalition that Obama tried to put together to strike Assad's military, number one. Russia and China has said no in no uncertain terms. Russia's moving major naval assets into the area. Russia has allegedly put 40,000 to 50,000 troops into the area. Do you understand that this is no longer just rhetoric, and that this academic group of lunatics in the White House could wind up triggering World War III? You may think it's laughable, but it may not be so laughable if things go bad the way they did at the start of World War I. I dread seeing us dragged into World War III. 855-400-7282. KSFO, Keith, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you're 100% right that Obama is going to do this alone. Not only has England dropped out, but France has also dropped out. He will do it for reasons of personal vanity. But let me tell you where I disagree with you. I would agree with you that Israel is wagging the tail if they had reason to believe that the United States was going to be the big brother and really take Assad out. But here's the problem. As you know, Obama has spent the past few days telegraphing very obviously to Assad all the places that we are thinking bombing. So going to do, as you say, we're going to do a very strategic, limited thing. Let me quote you a White House official today, Michael. If you haven't heard this, this will make you want to throw up. A White House official today said the challenge of the American military response to Syria is to be, quote, just muscular enough not to get mocked.
Wait, muscular enough not to get mocked?
The White House says we are putting together a response to Syria that will be just muscular enough not to get mocked. What they're saying is we're going to send a few missiles into places where we've already told Assad to move your plane.
Right, I get it. Didn't Clinton blow up a pharmaceutical plant in Libya to show how powerful he was?
He blew up a pharmaceutical plant in Libya, and he blew up a milk factory in...
So the same mentality is running the Obama administration's military thinking, which is just lob a few missiles and call it a day. And I have no idea what he's going to gain by doing that. I don't think... Have they not thought it through? What happens after he does that?
Well, you know that's the question. And you know who's actually pushing this policy more than anyone else? John McCain, and that doesn't surprise anybody. John McCain last night said on television, he said, don't we realize this is not just about Syria, this is about the region?
John McCain is a warmonger because he's tied deeply into the defense establishment. I believe John McCain is a front man for the munitions manufacturers, period, end of story. He gets most of his money from them. So if you want to trace his funding, you'll find out why he's saying these things. That's what I think about McCain. It's that naked and it's that cynical. Now, I think it's a huge step today for the UK to walk out and say no war. You heard the opening of my show, didn't you, when he said he's going to respect the will of the people?
Absolutely. And listen, John McCain is not only a frontman for munitions. Frankly, you know, you're a psychologist, Dr. Savage. You understand, as I believe you understand, John McCain is also still fighting the Vietnam War. I believe he's got PTSD. He's still struggling to fight the war he wasn't allowed to fight because of. He was shot down. That's a very scary thing. When he says it's now a regional war and that makes it our business, I say, John McCain, it's not our region.
Yes, and the fact is the will of the people is no war, just as in England. We are warred out. We had enough with Iraq and Afghanistan. No one supports this. 9% support, that's a very small number. Thank you for the call, and thanks for being so tuned in. And I have the questions again for you. Do you think Obama is going to go it alone? I do. I think he's backed himself into a corner, and he has no option right now. And you have to understand that he's going against not only world opinion, but he's going against the opinion, which is more important, of the American people themselves, us, we. It's unbelievable to me. How do you feel about Obama going around Congress and around the will of the people? How do you feel about the Republican Party refusing to come back from vacation? How do you feel about the fact that John Boehner has not called for a national press conference to oppose Obama's machinations toward war? And so I ask you tonight in the Savage Nation, will Obama the dictator go to war alone? Or do you think he has been chagrined by what he's seen going on, that his cohorts in France, the socialist Hollande, the most unpopular man in modern French political history, Mr. Hollande, the tax maniac, Hollande's blood brother over there, has also backed off with the war cry. Now England has backed off. Germany has backed off. So it's the gang alone. The gang alone. Will Obama go to war is the question alone. He has no mandate to do so.
Savage.
I have no interest in any kind of open-ended conflict in Syria, but we do have to make sure that when countries break international norms on...
Right on! All power to the people!
...that they are held accountable. If, in fact, we make a choice...
Yeah, all right, knock it off. We know what's coming, okay? It's war, war, war. The war drums are being beat. He came back from vacation specifically to launch the missiles and act like, you know, Mr. Kingo again. The King of Siam is back under the Constitution. What Constitution? The one that he doesn't respect? He has no right to launch a war any more than Bush did with the fake WMDs or Reagan with Grenada or Eisenhower with Lebanon. Where is Congress? Where the heck is Congress? Clinton violated the Constitution when he launched an air war against Serbia, an unconstitutional war crime. Millions of people marched against Clinton's illegal bombing, the war crime conducted by Madeleine Albright and Bill Clinton against Serbia to steal Kosovo from Serbia. Now we have it again. So they're out to steal Syria from Syria, to take Syria from the Syrians and do with it as they will. And that's the end of it. So now what's going on is interesting, very interesting to me. Obama's pretending he's studying the issue carefully, and he's going to do a very thoughtful... They know when they're launching to the second already. It'll be Friday night when you're asleep after a drunken barbecue for Labor Day weekend. They have it calculated with their friends from Hollywood and the PR business. You know, while America slept, they launched the war. They do everything Friday night. It's like a document dump. Syria's a weakened nation. So you can't wait two more days, Mr. Obama? You're that anxious to pull the trigger on another event to wipe away all your scandals? It's frightening to me. So then the New York Times writes, on Syria, a drumbeat with some echoes of Iraq. Oh, how clever. West debates legal rationale for Syria strike. There is no legal rationale. None whatsoever. But it's going to happen. It is going to happen. Russia will do jack. China will do nothing, and Iran will launch missiles against Israel. Israel will say we're attacked, now you have to go and take out Iran's nukes. It's the taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. That's the chess game as I see it. Yeah, I see it coming. Do I think it will lead to World War III? Truthfully, no. I do not think China and Russia are foolish enough. They're not as foolish as America. They're not as wild as America in their actions. They're much more calculated in their movements. and they have no gain, nothing to gain by doing it. Obama, on the other hand, is more of a cowboy than Bush. You know, this I know from day one. You know, you thought he was Mr. Peacenik. He has a few agenda items to neutralize the opposition in this country. He threw them gay marriage so they'd shut their mouths and go do what they wanted and not say anything to him when he bombed Syria. So he's neutralized that audience. Then he's going to throw the bone of 50 million illegal aliens to shut them up. So who's left? America, but America doesn't exist to Obama. The America that you know and you love doesn't exist to Barack Obama. And he doesn't give a damn what you think about him. He owns Chris Christie. He owns Peter King. He owns John Boehner. He owns the putative Republican Party, which doesn't really exist. So I started the show tonight. One, why is the U.S. threatening and likely to attack Syria? What will the targets be? Who is pushing Obama to go to war? And then I gave you the answer. I suspected this for weeks now. I suspected it, but I didn't want to say it because I felt that I would go onto a black book of suddenly everything would come bad onto me. If I dared say it all leads back to Israel, I thought that anything I might have gained in the world thus far would suddenly be taken away from me. And I hope I'm wrong. That's it. That's it. It's a terrible thing to watch this. I knew Obama was a puppet. That I knew from day one. And I know he's an arrogant puppet. I also know that he's an out-of-control arrogant puppet. I know he's a dangerous arrogant puppet. But I never thought that this so-called Nobel Prize winner, this so-called peace activist, would be such a warmonger. I had a suspicion, because soon after taking power, I think within 90 days, he put 30,000 more troops into Iran. I remember I made a story, I made an issue out of it on the radio show. I said, wait a minute, he's the peace candidate? And the first thing he did was put 30,000 new troops into Afghanistan? Wait a minute. Now you know why the last word in talk radio is soaring to new heights. The Savage Nation. It's not because of my Teddy stories or because of the Indian buffet or the horoscope or the cars or my manic depression or whatever, my moods. It's nothing to do with any of that. It's my analysis. It's like I'm a family member, but you got to put up with everything, the whole personality. Now, what's the good of me giving you just the news? You can get that from anybody. It's the fact that there's a human being behind the news that makes it interesting and believable. That's what it comes down to. I'm like a family member. I am the uncle that you all wish you had, or that you wish you had. They don't exist anymore. The uncles that you wish you had are now married to their boyfriend. They don't exist. Uncle Tony doesn't come over anymore. Uncle Tony married Uncle Marvin. He's gone. There's no uncles in the country. I'm the uncle. So there it is, shot across the bow. Obama advocates a limited, tailored approach in Syria. Wow, that's so way cool. That's not war. Look, it's not war. Obama advocates a limited, tailored approach in Syria. I think that's very, very, that is so, man, that's so hip. That's so hip. That's so unmilitary. He's going to have a tailored war. After all, you got to kill, kill, kill for peace, but he's going to do it nicely. He's going to do it with a plum style. Dignity. He's going to kill with dignity. And that's the good thing. You see, to the liberal, any bomb that has a D on it is a good bomb. Any bomb that has an R on it is an evil bomb, a racist bomb. Neil, play just Cameron's short piece again. It's very important you hear him say, I will not use the royal prerogative to go to war. I'll respect the will of the House of Commons and the will of the people. Let's play that one.
I strongly believe in the need for a tough response to the use of chemical weapons, but I also believe in respecting the will of this House of Commons. It is very clear tonight that while the House has not passed a motion, it is clear to me that the British Parliament, reflecting the views of the British people, does not want to see British military action. I get that, and the government will act accordingly.
You hear that? I get that, and the government will act accordingly. Now, why is it that Obama doesn't think he has a Congress nor a citizenry to pay attention to? Because all of his life he's been a narcissist and an egomaniac, a man who thinks he's above everyone, and he's liable to make the biggest mistake, not only of his life, but of the life of this country. How much war can this country take? Let's take your calls on this. Leo on WCRN in Boston, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Hey, Mike. I am very much an Obama detractor. I think you're probably right on Israel. We're very close. And if I were counseling President Obama, I would counsel him in the most strenuous way not to go to war in Syria. I don't think it's in our interests, and I think it's a disaster waiting to happen for a lot of reasons. However, that being said, disagree with you, and I don't think Cameron came across strong. I think he came across kind of wishy-washy. I mean, he's a leader. Leaders lead. And the President of the United States is not accountable to me or you or anybody else when he's making decisions of this magnitude. And, I'm going to say, forget about President Obama. I'm just going to say the President. The President of the United States doesn't need my permission to exercise executive powers as commander.
Well, you're wrong about that. What if he passed an executive order saying that all conservatives should be gassed to death? What would you say, he has the right to do that?
I'm saying this.
No. What if he passed an executive order saying all Christians must turn their Bibles into the local police station and the Bibles must be burned? What would you say? That's his prerogative?
Well, clearly, Mike, I wouldn't support.
He would say it's in the interest of homosexuals to see the Bible burned. And in the sake of diversity, we must burn all of the Bibles.
Let me give you an example.
Well, what if he did that? What, you'd say that he has the authority to do that?
No, well, we're talking about his war powers.
I understand that, but he doesn't have unlimited powers. He's not God. I mean, I don't know if you know the Constitution as well as you appear to be a very educated, very well-educated man. There is a separation of power and a balance of power. He doesn't have supreme power. That's how the government was set up that way, so no one could become a dictator. But because Congress has abrogated its responsibilities, he is stealing that power to himself.
Abraham Lincoln, I guess what I'm trying to say is we don't expect our president to be a poll-driven leader. We expect him to lead from his heart, from what he thinks is in the national interest.
Oh, you mean whatever he feels? You mean liberal code, if it feels good, do it?
No.
If it feels good, do it. In other words, why not do it in the road? Have sex with anyone you want. Go to war with anyone you want. If it feels good, do it. That's some way to run a country.
Do you agree that if Abraham Lincoln were poll-driven during the Civil War, we wouldn't have concluded the Civil War the way we did?
Well, there are people who would argue that Abraham Lincoln was a dictator and a monster.
Well, Lincoln's my hero, and Lincoln...
Well, I don't care if he's your hero. He did account for an awful lot of murder in this country, didn't he?
He certainly did, but he was courageous in making the decisions he did.
I don't know how courageous he was. There are historians and legitimate ones at that who say that the Civil War wasn't entirely about freeing the slaves, that it was also about a North-South industrial war. You know that as well as I do.
I totally do. But all I'm saying is...
Well, you see, but it's interesting that you would even acknowledge it. Most people wouldn't even hear what I just said. It was an industrial war, and Lincoln wanted the North to win the industrial war. And they wrapped it around the humanitarian issue of slavery the same way. This is an interesting parallel. You've led me to this conclusion, or let us say a surmisal. Obama's wrapping himself around a humanitarian action, but you and I well know it's always about power and money. And so where is the power and money for America in knocking out Assad? Can you tell me that?
No, I agree. And the other thing we haven't talked about either is the Qatar influence. Qatar is behind this war. They're backing the rebels because of the oil pipeline. They're trying to get through Western oil, natural gas, to Western Europe. And that's why Russia is...
Oh, that's interesting. 1998, I wrote an article, The Oily Tracks Run Through Kosovo. It's a repeat of history. Clinton stole Kosovo from the Serbs to run an oil pipeline from the Caspian Sea into Europe. So now this is the same story again?
Qatar wants to run natural gas to Western Europe, which obviously is against Russia's interests. And Qatar is already, I think I heard, $2 or $3 billion into the rebels. Of course, not because of human rights violations, because of their interest in supplying Western Europe with natural gas to compete with...
All right. Well, look, Leo, you're a very, very, you're a tremendously good caller for two reasons. One, we disagree completely, but two, you're very reasonable.
Thank you. And
it's
it's
very hard to find reasonable people to disagree with. You're one of the few. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I strongly believe in the need for a tough response to the use of chemical weapons, but I also believe in respecting the will of this House of Commons. It is very clear tonight that while the House has not passed a motion, it is clear to me that the British Parliament, reflecting the views of the British people, does not want to see British military action. I get that, and the government will act accordingly.
Yeah, order, order.
Well, you just heard democracy in action, the way it's supposed to work in the British Parliament, which voted tonight, thumbs down to the rogue administration of Obama launching a war on his own. My headline on MichaelSavage.com is the same as on this show. UK equals democracy, US equals dictatorship. Now, mind you, Cameron, the PM of England, wanted to go to war, but he conceded after the vote that, listen to what he said, it's very important you understand what this man said, as opposed to this gangbanger we have in the White House. I don't know what else to say anymore. It's like a gang running America. Like a gangbanger took over the country. Who the hell does he think he is? Prime Minister Cameron wanted to go to war, but he said this. He said, quote, the British Parliament, reflecting the views of the British people, does not want to see British military action. Period. But our gang, Obama, the Obama gang, the tyrant in the White House, could give our rats behind less about what Congress thinks and what the people think. You are not living in a democracy. Your democracy has been hijacked by a gang. That is why I said to you, listen carefully to what Cameron said. Cameron wanted to go to war, but he didn't. He listened to the will of the Parliament and the will of the British people. In America, 9% want to go to war. Nine. The same thing would apply here if we had even a shred of democracy. We have no democracy. None whatsoever. I want to point out another phrase. Notice that Cameron said he will not use the royal prerogative to go to war. The royal prerogative is the equivalent of the executive order in America. That is because he represents the people through the Parliament, and he respected the will of the Parliament and the will of the people. That is how it's supposed to work here in America. But this country has been hijacked by a criminal gang, according to tens of millions of people who know what the heck is going on. He does not have the power to do it, but he will do it anyway. He will claim he has the power. He will tell the people to go to hell. And if you think it's about the gas attack, you're crazy. If you think it's only about the gas attack, you're crazy. It's about cutting up Syria, cutting it up into pieces, and giving pieces of it away. You may not know this, but the modern Syrian state was only established after the First World War as a French mandate. And Syria, at that time that emerged, represented the largest Arab state, which emerged from the formerly Ottoman-ruled Arab Levant. It gained independence in April 1946 as a so-called parliamentary republic. Of course, there were many coups and coup attempts between 49 and 71. But the fact of the matter is, the borders that you are looking at in Syria today are rather recent. You have to look at the ancient geographical Syrian landmass to understand what is at stake here. Because Western powers carved up the Middle East over the last century, and I believe right now, very evil and demonic forces are going to cut up Syria the way they cut up Serbia and stole Kosovo from the Serbian people. Kosovo had been part of Serbia since the 1300s. Your wonderful hero of peace, Bill Clinton, that sterling example of humanity, launched our air force against the Serbs on false pretexts. They made up the concentration camp pictures the same way they may be making up the gas pictures today. Those were staged concentration camp pictures about the poor Albanians. My friends, you're only seeing the shadows on the wall of the cave. If you'd like to know who the actors are and what's really going on, you'll have to read some history. You'll have to study on your own. This is a radio program where I, Michael Savage, with a legitimate scholarly background, tries to bring you in short sound bites a pocket history of the world, according to me. But you have to know history to know where I'm coming from. If you don't know history, you're just reading the newspapers, what I'm saying to you about Israel may not make sense. But if you know history, you may see a bigger picture, and I can't make up for a person's lack of education or interest in reality. There's also a lesson to be learned from Assad himself, and that is the cult of personality. Assad the father had a 30-year rule, an authoritarian regime that ruled with one man. And it was characterized, largely like Obama's, by a cult of personality, which he developed in order to maintain control over a restive population and to bring cohesion and stability to government. That's what the father did in the father of Assad. His party, the Ba'ath Party, which is the socialist structure of the government and economy, is very similar to the Stalinist state that Obama is putting in place in this country. There are many parallels between the Ba'ath Party and between Obama's executive orders and rule by dictatorship. And then you have to understand that Assad used the military to underpin his regime. And also Assad moved members of his sect, the Alawi sect, to which Assad belonged, into influential military and security positions, the same way that Obama has been moving operatives into influential military and security positions in the NSA, in the FBI, in all of the other agencies. And so watch out now, because the state of emergency that Obama is liable to call because of the conflict he will set off in the Middle East will actually further ensure the regime's stability rather than weaken it. It will strengthen it. And if I can figure it out, so can they.
Savage.